let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some ass.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly sponsored this month by the fabulous team from the Dolphin Theatre. Head to dolphintheatre.org.nz to check out their latest shows and book tickets. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you here on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz, and check us out on Spotify. Tonight we're catching up with the very talented Maxwell Hutton to see how he's gone with his recent move to Bay of Plenty. That's certainly keeping him out of mischief. We're chatting with some of the team from Bad Girls the Musical here in Auckland, and singer-songwriter Bryony Matthews joins us to release her latest track. But to kick off tonight, it was sad to hear of the sudden passing of the very talented Glenn Hansard this week. A real talent gone too soon. So in his honour, here is him singing Falling Slowly from the musical Once. Oh, gone too soon.
Definitely.
What a tragic loss. And some beautiful tributes out there. Of course, our very dear Lisa Crawley, who was the lead in once here in New Zealand, which opened the ASB Waterfront Theatre, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
She's put some beautiful things out this week. But yeah, very sad. But what's not sad is nice to see you. We're both actually here the same time, same
place.
Yeah,
I know. We were meant to be together last week, but you were sick. And this stupid winter flu that seems to be going around is driving people insane.
I have never been so sick as the last 3 weeks. It got me so bad, things had to cancel. Yeah, but you've travelled lots, and we'll catch up a little later in the show about all the places you've been since I last saw you.
For sure.
It's crazy. But we've got a great night tonight, and we're kicking the show off tonight talking about Bad Girls, the musical. Now, I don't think I've ever seen this. Have you seen Bad Girls before?
I have, because actually Sue and Lynette from Libretto Trust, who are producing this version, did it with Harlequin Theatre years ago, and Sharon, my best friend, was in it. So was Chantelle, who's another queen from Queen Street, and Lindsay Brown. So, yeah, I have seen it before.
Oh, cool. Well, I don't know much about it. So, we've got two fabulous team members on the line. A big good evening to Jenny and Debs. Welcome to Kick Arts.
Hi. Hello, hi.
Great to have you both here. Now, Jenny, you kick it off. For anyone listening, what is Bad Girls all about?
Well, it's based off the British TV series from yonks ago, really, but you don't have to have seen it to see the show. It's about all the different stories of these female prisoners in this prison and sort of their own little stories interacting with the guards and how they sort of interplay with each other. There's lots of fun. There's some darkness in it, but it's a real black comedy. There's some real laugh out loud moments too.
Okay, and so who do you play?
I play Shell Dockley, so she's the prison top dog, or likes to think she is anyway. Ooh. And likes to boss everybody around and have her way and deal drugs on the side and all of that. So it's couldn't be further from who I am in real life.
I'm trying to work out a great line to say here, Jenny. Like, you know, have you had to sort of practice some method acting at home to get into this role?
Yeah. it's been great fun. Really good fun getting into the character.
Yeah, but what is it like stepping so far out of the comfort zone like that?
It's definitely a challenge, but it's, I think it's one of those ones where it's good to get the book down early so you can actually start just sort of getting into the role and the physicality of it to get my inner angry woman out and explore her on stage. So it's been great.
Brilliant. And Debs, who do you play?
So I'm playing Julie Saunders, and she's one of the two Julies. So they are a sisterly comedy duo, so they've been driven into crime to try and make ends meet for their children, but they both got a heart of gold, and it's been really great fun for Leehan and myself coming together and creating that friendship and having a lot of laughs as well along the way.
That's cool.
You've got a really fun song in the show too, haven't you?
Yes, Life of Grime, which we've been doing a lot of improvising with some mops and buckets, so it's definitely, I think, one of the funniest songs in the show, definitely.
Gorgeous.
So tell us, Debs, how long has this been in rehearsal?
So we've been rehearsing for a couple of months now. Just a lot of working on the dancers and the musical numbers, and there's just some amazing, beautiful harmony. It's just such wonderful show numbers. So yes, the audience are going to be amazed by, you know, when they hear how strong some of the singing is. It's been absolutely brilliant.
That's cool. Jenny, what's your favourite sort of part or moment in the show?
I do really enjoy the Julie's number because it is hilarious. As I've been watching Debs do that, it's been brilliant. It's also quite a pleasure to, my husband's playing Jim Fenner, and so it's been really fun to kind of work on our scenes together in the show because we interact as our characters in the show as well, so that's been a lot of fun.
Okay, so there is, so here's me saying, you know, practicing at home and stuff, and, you know, hubby's in it, so yeah, that's a good way of getting the lines down. That's great that you two can share a show, because that means juggling family and all of that, but it must be pretty special to be on stage together again.
It is. It's lovely. It's we met during theatre, so it's lovely to kind of keep that going as well when we can. And it's, as you say, when we can manage the juggle, it's really great to do.
That's nice. So, Debs, for our listeners, take us back. When did the arts first kick off for you? When did you first fall in love with the theatre?
Oh, my goodness. I started when I was 4 or 5 years old in school plays and community theatre in the UK, and it's just been part of my life. Yeah, my whole life. It's my happy place. I love being on the stage, and it's just something I do as a hobby, and also just meeting amazing people and amazing performers, and you know, you really find a family when you get involved in the theatre. So yeah, it's something I will always do.
When did you move to New Zealand?
About 20 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And has it always been on stage that's called you, or have you been involved sort of behind the scenes as well?
Yeah, I've also been behind the scenes. I've directed plays. I was president of Howitt Little Theatre and Remarkable Theatre in Queenstown. So I've also, on stage, off stage, you will find me absolutely doing anything and everything when it comes to theatre.
Love it. And Jenny, what about you? Take us back. When did it first kick off for you?
When I was a kid as well, really. I think my first show was Oliver. I think I played a pickpocket, and I think I had to say "they're stale" was my only line. But when I was at school, and then just sort of got into youth theatre outside of school, and I met my husband in the youth theatre, and then we've kind of been doing it ever since, and doing a couple of shows a year, since then, really. So it's always been a big part of our lives as well. Sort of, it's been great. It's, as Deb said, you really find a community of people, and it's just special.
And how have you been finding Libretto Trust?
Oh, they're great. It's such a warm community of people. A really fat group. Deb's been with them since the beginning. She's been with them the whole way. It was my first show last year was Calendar Girls, and that was just brilliant. So it's lovely to come back to them for Bad Girls.
Now, your hubby's just come off Catch Me If You Can, and he had a fabulous role there. So he's rolled literally straight in one into the next one.
He has, keeping him busy.
Are you letting the kids come and see Bad Girls?
No, it would be it's a little bit too dark, this one, but Catch Me was fine, but not Bad Girls. Yeah, not Bad Girls, this one.
So, Debs, who do you think this show will appeal to most? You know, when you're thinking that our listenership is obviously theatre people, but also it's Auckland Radio, anyone who's listening tonight, who's going to be attracted to coming along and seeing it?
Oh, I think anybody that wants to see just, heartwarming, heartbreaking, really, strong story of women who are just coming together and just making their mark. And, I think there's something for everybody. Yeah, there's some dark moments, but there's also just real warmth and love and comedy. So, yeah, I think pretty much everybody will enjoy it. But, yes, maybe not very young. Maybe not very young children.
And the seating's a little bit different for this one. It's not like rows.
No, we've got, it's like cabaret style. So, there's sort of seated tables. The most amazing cheese platters are included in the ticket, and there's sort of BYO drinks. So it's a really friendly, relaxed, informal audience as well. So, yeah.
Where's your venue?
So it's at the Children's Musical Theatre Studio in Howick, 120 Vincent Road, yeah.
Cool. And did either of you go back and watch the TV series to sort of get your head in the game?
I haven't watched the TV series, but we did sort of see the original Bad Girls musical from the UK, so we were definitely getting inspired by watching the professional version from a few years ago.
What about you?
Likewise, I watched that one as well. So it's luckily it was on YouTube, so it was really cool to. Especially, I didn't know the show particularly well, so it was nice to sort of see that before auditioning to work out which character to go for and all of that. So it was really cool to sort of see that as a bit of a flavour.
Now, I don't want you to give away spoilers, but if we're going cabaret style seating, does that mean the show goes out to the audience?
Well, the first row is very close to the action.
Okay.
The nickname is, was it Spitter's Row, I think.
Right.
So you're in there. You're right close to the action, so you won't miss anything.
Or you could maybe do some poncho merch with bad girls on the front of it, you know, to get some extra revenue in case you get spat on.
Love it, love it. All right. Jenny, tell us, where can people go and get tickets and find out more?
Yes, so it's on, the tickets are available on trybooking.com, and it's, yeah, Libretto Theatre, and it's on, we open on the 28th of August, and we run, so we do have three performances that weekend, and then the following weekend we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you've got seven chances to come and see us. I think the first Saturday night is already sold out, so I'd get in quick.
Brilliant. Get on to Try Booking. Now, we're going to close your interview with the song The Baddest and the Best. Tell me about this one.
So this one is, it is in the second half of the show, and it's really when all the women are sort of rallying together and kind of, without giving away too many spoilers, but they're sort of rallying together and going to be the best and beat the system is probably the best way to say it.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, all the best for a fabulous season and fabulous being bad. Hope it doesn't cause too many issues at home for you, Jenny. And we'll play this track now. Head to Try Booking to go and support them. And thanks, Jenny and Debs, for coming on Kick Arts on a Sunday night.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome.
Thank you.
Go, here that is, The Baddest and the Best from Bad Girls the Musical.
You better wise up the way this is going down. For once in your life, use your brain. Like a bad dream that keeps on coming round. He's gonna screw you over again.
And you'll be history before you know what's hit. Gonna need a wake up call, and this is it.
You better listen up, 'cause we're all gonna eat this rat. If he's out to get you, get him first. We need a queen. Sharpen up your sting and do your worst.
And he'll be history before the day is through. So make your mind up now, it's up to you.
Do you wanna be bad?
Do you wanna be bad?
Do you wanna be the baddest and the best? You've been messed around and trampled down. Get it off your chest.
I'm the best, did it?
So, you win with us.
Or just out for yourself.
Go on, Shell.
Come on, Shell. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. You know what, then? I can get used to this solidarity shit.
Hi, everyone. Let's get to work.
Let's do it.
Hello, Charlie. Yeah, it's me.
Do us a favour, darling. I need a state-of-the-art wireless minicam and receiver unit, some extra long-length line-out cable, a couple of male to female adapters to link you to the main security system, and like yesterday, you know? Thanks, Charlie. Impressed? If you're gonna be bad, no matter where you go, it's who you know. Put it to the test, no, you don't get mad. You just get better than all the rest. Hit him hard and hit him low. Do your baddest and your best.
And I'm sure the Lord will.
up there on that screen when the truth is finally seen.
You're gonna be a TV star and the whole world's gonna know who you are. You'll be the best there's ever been. Now that bad, bad band is gonna rock.
Brilliant. Bad Girl. Sounds fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I remembered after we did the intro, I also saw it at Cowdy Theatre in Panaki in Wellington.
Ah, cool.
Mm.
Now, you've been travelling a little bit lately, and obviously you've had your show in the weeks around the country. We caught up a bit on that a couple of weeks ago. But now you've just come back from Melbourne, which was Junior Festival Australia, is that right?
Junior Theatre Celebration Melbourne.
Oh, okay. So what was that and why is it different to Junior Festival in Auckland?
So, there are five festivals around the world, and they are classed as festivals because of the international nature of them, and they're bigger. Whereas the celebrations, there's quite a few of them that happen, especially in America. They're one-day events. So they're the same thing but smaller.
Okay.
So there were 12 groups from Australia there yesterday at Bunjil Place, which is the most gorgeous building, which is kind of incorporates a cafe and a library and things like that, but it's got this beautiful theatre and breakout spaces and conference rooms. Right next to Fountain Gate, in fact, which is a famous shopping mall made famous by Kath and Kim, because it was where Kath and Kim used to go shopping in their TV programme.
How far out of Melbourne is this?
It's about 45 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was there. I arrived on Wednesday. They were rehearsing a pilot for the week, and they were rehearsing Midnight Junior, which was the pilot I did down in Tapanui 3 weeks ago. So got to hang out with the kids for a couple of days, and then Saturday was the full day event, and I adjudicated six of the 12 groups, and I took kind of oversaw the PD with the teachers and ran a session on vocal sustainability and nice. Vocal loading.
Nice. Mm.
Yeah.
Right. What sort of numbers at it?
So 12 groups, slightly smaller. We're probably talking more like about seven, well, probably not even that, maybe just 600-ish people at that one, at that celebration. But the groups that tend to go to the Melbourne one are people that can't get up to Newcastle for the big festival, which happens in October.
So what's next on your junior theatre calendar?
My festival.
Here in Auckland?
Here in Auckland. We've got 26 groups registered so far, and that's happening at Labour Weekend at the Victory Centre again, and it's going to be our biggest we've ever had, and it's our 10-year anniversary, which is really exciting that junior theatre has been happening in New Zealand as a festival for 10 years.
That is brilliant. Brilliant. All right, now we were meant to have some guests in tonight from the show Jagged Little Pill, which is taking place at Sky City Theatre from September the 3rd, but like me, they've got hit with this Auckland lurgy and they didn't make it in, but you've seen the show before somewhere.
I have. I actually saw it on Broadway.
Lucky. Lucky.
And I saw it with Andrew Potvin from iTicket, and we were actually in the front row. Like, we were in the spitting zone. But it is such, like, I think too, because it's all songs of Alanis Morissette, but they're written in a way to kind of, it doesn't feel like a jukebox musical.
Because it's all from just one album, isn't it? It's one of her albums, not her whole music career. They just chose one album.
Yeah, but the story through it is gorgeous. It's about a family and the trials and tribulations of teenagers and parents.
Ah.
It's got a lovely story. I remember crying a couple of times because there's definitely some very sad moments in it. But Alanis's music is just so cool. Mm. So to be singing those songs, which are so iconic, it's probably, I'd be interested to know, because are the songs still iconic to young people now?
Yeah,
because she was kind of our, you know,
definitely.
Wasn't she?
Definitely. Yeah, and it's not songs that you keep hearing on radios and things. So, yeah, has it travelled the test of time?
Mm.
But first time I've seen it done down here, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't recall it being done in New Zealand yet.
No, it doesn't say it's a premiere or anything, but I don't recall. Certainly not in Auckland, I haven't seen it.
Definitely not. I'm pretty sure that it's only just recently become available for amateur licensing.
Right, right. And I'm always pleased to see Sky City Theatre being used. It's a good space, and it's a shame it sits empty so often.
Yeah, and it's a nice mix between too many seats and not enough seats. Because, you know, the Pump House is great, but what are we talking, 300 seats? And then you kind of jump up to, like, the Bruce is too big.
It's a nice middle ground.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, yes, you've got to park. Most people park at Sky City and it's a little bit expensive, but, you know, go and park at Civic and walk up the hill.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll play a track from it, and we wish the team at Jagged Little Pill speedy recovery so you can get back into rehearsals. Here is Ironic.
An old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon. 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Hold up. Wait a second. That's actually not ironic.
Right? If we're using irony as defined in Greek tragedy, I don't see how, like, a fly in your beverage applies.
That's not irony. That's just, like, shitty.
Can I please finish my piece?
Mr. Play It Safe was afraid to fly. He packed his suitcase and kissed his kids goodbye. He waited his whole damn life to take that flight. And as the plane crashed down, he thought, well, isn't this nice? And isn't it ironic?
It's not, though.
It would be irony if the guy in the crash was, like, an airplane mechanic.
How about you guys let her finish?
It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you've already paid. It's the good advice that you just did. A funny way
of sneaking up on you when you think everything's okay and everything's going right.
And life is a funny way
of helping you out when you think everything's gone wrong and everything blows up in your face.
A traffic jam when you're already late.
Seeing anyone?
And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? A little too ironic.
And yeah, I really do think.
It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you've already paid. It's the good advice that you trust in.
Oh,
Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pearl, the musical, hitting Sky City Theatre from September the 3rd to the 6th. Bookings now available through iticket.co.nz. Go and support the team. Looking forward to seeing that one. Now, time to head down to the South Island. I wonder if it's a little bit cooler than perhaps it is here in Auckland tonight as we catch up with Bryony Matthews on the release of their latest album, Brainstorm. Good evening.
Hello, how are you?
We are good. Is it cold down there tonight?
It is cold.
It was a couple of weeks ago, we were talking to somebody on here, and it was Blenheim, and they said it was very cold, and then the power went out, and we realised it was going to be a very cold night if the power had gone out as well. Now, you're no stranger to the music scene, and it's exciting to see you releasing your album. So for our listeners, first of all, tell us a little bit about your own journey in music, and then we'll talk more about the album.
Sure. I guess music's always been a part of my life from a young child, like whether it was music or performance or, you know, just stuff through that you do at school and things. I started songwriting from quite a young age and was always involved in the things that you do, like Rock Quest and things. And then later in life, like in my 20s, I started kind of getting more into it, like focusing more on it and trying to do it a bit more properly. Went overseas and did a lot of like playing over there and just kind of just seeing people and getting more of my feel for who I am and like my confidence, I guess. And then released my first single in 2016, followed by my first album. And then I released another album in 2023. And this one is a whole different project of mine, which we can talk about.
Yeah. So in your press release, it talks about how this album came about after you had a pretty big accident.
I did. Yep. I was hit off a Lime scooter, and I had to go into emergency brain surgery because my brain was bleeding. So it was like a pretty intense, like near-death experience, actually. I don't actually remember the accident, but I remember waking up in ICU, and that's when I kind of learned what had happened. And then, from then on, it was a really long recovery, slow recovery process.
So how would you maybe describe the change in your music, say, since the brain injury? Did that change the music?
Yeah, so after my accident, like I didn't sing for a long time, and I couldn't actually physically sing. Like everything was kind of broken down, including my voice, and also I broke my inner ear in the accident as well, and I couldn't, like, everything was just, I was living like I was underwater for a long time. And then I was writing lots of things. Like, that was kind of the one thing I was able to do, was actually like writing images and poetry and things, which I knew eventually when I got more better, I'd be able to turn those into music. And then I had the surgery on my ear, which kind of helped fix it a bit, not entirely, but to the point where I could sing and kind of hear myself properly again. And that's when I really pulled out all the things that I'd been writing and working on, and just worked in my bedroom with my laptop on Logic and playing with lots of different layers and sounds. And a big thing for me was kind of learning that I wasn't really able to sing as well or perfectly as I used to be, but I was kind of, and I decided to kind of go into how I could sing with my flaws and my faults and kind of work with those as part of the new music. And that was really liberating, actually, and added a whole different way of how I wrote things. And yeah, I've really moved away. Like, my last album is, I've always kind of been a singer-songwriter and started with my guitar and worked that way, but I've kind of moved away from that sound, and I'm playing more with different layers of electronic synths and different things, and there's some electric guitar in there, but it's definitely moving away from that kind of original stuff that I used to do.
Would you say the music was a huge part of your recovery as well? Like, that motivated you to sort of keep that recovery journey happening?
I don't know if it was a motivation. I think the motivation was already there. Like, I mean, I've got a young daughter. She was 5 when it happened. Oh. So, you know, the motivation was just to get better, really. But music's always been something that it's been a way that I express myself through, and I can, I guess it's like a, you know, it's a helpful way of the recovery, part of the recovery, I suppose.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, you've backed this new album up with a upcoming tour. You're performing in Christchurch, Wellington, Whanganui, Auckland and Hamilton. And you talk about this not just being about performing your music, but making people aware of the Laura Ferguson Brain Injury Trust. So what part did they play in your journey?
Yep. So a week after I was released from hospital, they got in touch with us, and I had been referred to them, and I didn't actually know this until that moment. I didn't even know who they were or what they did. So I went in there and I met my occupational therapist, who pretty much I had to just talk to her about everything, and then they just told us exactly how and what they could do to help, which is everything that you need, really. Like, it's such an amazing company, and there's so many of them across New Zealand that I was completely unaware of, but now obviously I am. But they just have, like, occupational therapists to help you through every kind of step of the way as long as you need, and then physios to help you with different physical problems, and neuropsychologists, and, like, all sorts of things. So they helped with all the, like, the things, you know, helping with the ACC side of things, but also just helping, like, being there like a real counsellor, and all this, the physio stuff that they worked with me, because I had a lot of vertigo problems and things to do with my eyes and my ears and lots of things. So they are there to help with all of those kind of things. And I had an incredible neuropsychologist who helped me for like a year. So I was with them for about a year. And without them, like, I wouldn't have been able to recover the way I did. And they're doing this for huge amounts of people, like, who have minor to serious, you know, concussion and traumatic brain injuries. And yeah, there's businesses like this, like in every district, really, that are doing this kind of thing. So I really wanted to bring more awareness to these places, because obviously they're charity organisations and they need donations and help with things. So yeah, that is part of this, is to bring them into focus as well.
Wow. Now, you've created a music video for Storm as well. What was that like, getting that together?
Yeah, so I had this idea that I just wanted to make a visualizer rather than a whole music video, which is kind of just something that kind of goes on repeat, but actually it turned out amazingly well, because it is a full music video. I'm lucky enough to know a man called Harry Knight, who used to live in Christchurch years ago, but he's been over in London with his partner Maria Webb, and together they have a business called Falling Films. So they've been working overseas. He's like a cinematographer, and she does a lot of direction, and they work really well together. They've done some pretty amazing jobs over in London. So they've just recently moved back, and he got in touch with my husband, who is an old friend. He owns a restaurant, and so they kind of were starting to talk about ideas and things. And then Alex, my husband, was like, oh, you should ask Harry to do it. So I got in touch with him, and it was just really fortunate, actually, because I just kind of had some ideas about what I wanted it to look like, because Storm is about visuals and kind of dark things that I imagine my accident being, but I don't actually remember my accident. So I wanted to create those kind of dark and sinister ideas, but also make it beautiful. So yeah, we literally just went down the back of an alleyway one night in Christchurch and spent about 2 or 3 hours filming a few things, and then they came up with this beautiful work of art, which is just perfect. It just reflects what I was trying to put across perfectly.
Brilliant. Well, how about we take a wee pause in the interview and take a listen to the track Storm? Stay on the line.
Thank you.
Single tear is dripping. Again, my brain is breaking. Another story, vision in my mind. On the road, I'm bleeding. I'm curled into my knees, and when I see the snow, what is around?
Fantastic. If you were here in our studio, we're blaring it loud. It's got a great track to it. Like it's like it really, you know, bass isn't the right word, like a really good sort of backing sound to it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah, really cool. So, you know, you talked before about, you know, the injury and the accident and not being aware of that moment. Did you lose quite a bit of time in your memory? Like, is it just the accident, or a lot of people suffer brain injuries and actually lose quite a little chunk of time?
Yeah, I know. And fortunately, I didn't. And actually, quite amazingly. So I don't remember the accident. Obviously, I don't remember being in an induced coma. I remember waking up in ICU. And then, from then on, because obviously over the next 2 weeks when you're in hospital, like everyone's checking up on you and you've got OTs coming in every day to check your memory. And you've got to, you know, they ask you all these little pictures and things, and then the next day you've got to remember, and they're constantly asking if you know, what day it is, what your name is. And I was always like, why are they asked? Like, why are they thinking that there's something wrong with my memory? Like, I just didn't understand, like this, what had actually happened to me, like how serious it could have been. And I'm so aware that, like, so many people that have gone through things like I have woken up and, yeah, haven't been able to remember things and or even walk or talk. Yeah. And there was a lot of, you know, it was like watching me and seeing if I was going to be able to go home or if I had to go into, like, a rehab centre. And I was very, very fortunate in that way. Like, it's really, really hard in so many other ways, but I'm very aware of that.
And what's next for your own recovery journey? What do you have to do now just to look after yourself going forward?
Yeah, I just have to take good care of myself. Like, the biggest thing that continues is problems with fatigue. And, like, you know, it's hard for people who haven't experienced actual fatigue to really understand how incredibly, I don't even know how to put words to it. It's not like, you know, being tired. It's like stops you from being functional.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have moments where I'm doing really, really well, and I just go get through my days in my life. I've got funny little things that are different now. Like, I'm way more forgetful and clumsy and, you know, just silly little quirky things. But yeah, if I do push myself too hard, or if I get too stressed about something, or you know, too much time working on screens or all that kind of thing, like, then I can have just a sudden fatigue crash, which actually ironically has happened in the last few days to me. So I've just got to be really careful and listen to my body and really rest and stop and do as little as possible, which obviously is hard. Like, you know, I'm a mother and life is life, and
and you're about to go on tour with your concert, so I hope you've got a good support team looking after you for that. So what's next on your music journey? Are you already busy writing the next album?
Not at all.
No? Get this one out and take a break?
I have been working on this project for such a long time. And, you know, the funnest part of it for me is at the beginning when I'm writing the songs and I'm playing around with the ideas. That's the best part for me. And then after that, obviously, you want to turn it into a project and you have to get it out there, and that requires money. And, you know, I've spent such a long time, last year and a half, working on funding applications and getting them denied and then working on them again. And then finally, like, massive thank you to Creative NZ, who actually did fund me to make this album, because I wouldn't be talking
That's
to you
cool.
if I didn't do that. And then applying for a million different funding through different creative schemes per district so I can take it on tour. And it's just been a huge amount of organisation and admin and all this work that, you know, people forget about. So I'm really looking forward to doing the show and then just resting for a bit.
Good on you. Well, you can catch the performances in Christchurch, 13th and 14th, at the Little Andromeda Theatre, heading to Bats in Wellington for September the 2nd, Whanganui at the Repertory Theatre on September the 3rd, good old Tiranga Theatre, Lochdall House up here in Auckland for October the 14th, and then to the Meteor in Hamilton on the 15th. Where can people go to buy tickets or grab your music and download and listen to the full album?
So it's all digital. It's all on the, you know, the normal places to listen digitally. But you can also go to Bandcamp and purchase my vinyl, which is awesome if people are into vinyls. And you can buy it digitally there as well. Where you want to buy my tickets from, it's a few different ticket outlets. So if you actually just go onto my Instagram, which is Bryony Matthews Music, and then go into my bio and then all the tickets are there for you to click on.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing your story so honestly with us and our listeners tonight. We're going to close with another track from your album, very appropriately titled A Letter to My Brain. Really enjoyed this one. And we really appreciate you coming on and wish you all the best with your tour.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Keep looking after yourself and hit us up when the next album is ready.
Okay, thank you.
Brilliant. We'll close the interview now with A Letter to My Brain. What a lovely, beautiful, honest story tonight, Emma.
No, definitely. And, I mean, people with brain injuries are just amazing what they go through. And, I mean, I know they all have slightly different journeys, but wow.
But also all the people around them, they have to support them because it is sometimes like starting fresh with somebody. It's huge, huge. All the best for her tour. Hope she rests up. Now, lots happening in theatre at the moment. It's a busy time. So here is the latest from the theatre list. This week, The Stranger by Agatha Christie is still on at the Shoreside Theatre, playing through until the 9th next weekend. Enid has a perfectly good life, a flat in the city, a reliable fiancé and a future that makes sense. Then a stranger appears at her door, charming, handsome, a little mysterious, and she makes a decision she can't take back. It's a tense psychological thriller. Ooh, playing at the Pump House. Head to pumphouse.co.nz and support our friends at the Shoreside Theatre.
Now, Macbeth is on at Auckland Theatre Company, and I've heard so many great things about it. I'm going on
Thursday
night.
Especially the set. Have you seen some of the set stuff? Interesting.
Yeah. So Shakespeare's chilling tale of betrayal, ambition, and corrosive cost of unchecked desire. A poisoned prophecy, a blood-soaked crown, a kingdom lost and won. Shakespeare's most poignant psychological drama, Macbeth, is the timeless tale of a man undone by greed, ambition, and corrupt lust for power. This bold new production is directed by Benjamin Kilby Henson, which brings Shakespeare's potent words to blood-curdling life. And that is on until the 22nd of August at the ASB Theatre. Check it out at atc.co.nz.
Now, this next one I know is one Kristen was going to try and catch because it intrigued her. It's called Potluck by the Mischief Theatre Company. Live, unscripted comedy where anything can happen. Watch a cast of improvisers turn a simple shared meal into a wildly funny story filled with unexpected connections, awkward moments and heartfelt surprises. A deliciously unpredictable comedy. It's playing right through until the end of August at the Vic in Devonport. Really cool. A little bit different. Go and check it out. Head to thevic.co.nz for all the details.
And Over and Out with Jackson Burling, who of course was on the show a few weeks ago. Award-winning verbatim theatre show Over and Out is a funny, heartfelt solo work created and performed by Jackson Burling. Directed by Simon Leary, a young Jackson took his father's sage advice and avoided the fork in the road, never to become a truck driver. Years later, after a long and grueling stretch in the arts industry, he finds himself circling back to the question he never quite shook. Why not? And that is happening from the 4th to the 8th of August, so that's this week at Q Theatre. So go to qtheatre.co.nz.
Now, last week, Emma and the team interviewed the team from the Dolphin Theatre, Miss Holmes, when an anonymous note sends a newlywed wife looking for help. Miss Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Dorothy Watson work together to uncover the secrets surrounding a corrupt police inspector whose wives have a habit of turning up dead. But to this, Holmes and Watson face far greater challenges than bringing the cunning criminal to justice. It's inspired by the works of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. This theatrical fan fiction shines a new light on favourite characters from the books. So head to dolphintheatre.org.nz. It's playing from Friday right through until the 22nd of August.
Ku rewa te ahikiri mai. That is Te Po Theatre in the Dust Palaces, a Te Reo Māori circus theatre show for tamariki aged 4 to 12 years old, but is going to be enjoyed by the whole whānau. On the sizzling day in Tamaki Makaurau, siblings Mero and Nico request to get the biggest ice creams in Aotearoa from the legendary Te Kau store. They set off on a magic speedy heriranga to Te Hikoi o Te Aka. But on their return, the ice creams start to melt, turning their trip home into an epic survival adventure. A double scoop of fun sprinkled with aerial acrobatics, contortion, ice cream juggling, and encounters with friends from Te Tauā. A cheeky sibling navigate challenges to find each other and get the ice cream home safely to the whānau. So check this out. It's on from the 8th to the 15th of August at Te Po and Ellerslie Arts. So check out tepotheatre.nz.
Now, this one's a little bit different. So Phoenix Theatre are putting on Glide Time in September. I was almost tempted to audition, Emma. It was one of those shows that I went, oh, that just took me back to my childhood memories.
But wasn't it based on a TV program?
Yeah, TV series and an Office. It was like the original Office.
Yeah.
But Kiwi style. There was just some great characters. Oh, I was so tempted. But this is a special one-night event, 50 years of Sir Roger Hall's plays.
Wow.
50 years literally to the night since Roger Hall's first play, Glide Time, took to the stage. So play first by the sounds of it, before the TV series. They're celebrating his incredible career with a special Q&A, tributes, and a chance to get a taster of what you're in for in September's anniversary season of Glide Time. Join the team on the 11th of August, exactly 50 years since the curtain first rose, to celebrate the playwright who has spent half a century holding up a mirror to New Zealanders and giving us permission to laugh at what we saw. store. Supper is provided and there's a bar available. It's Tuesday the 11th at the Pump House. Head to pumphouse.co.nz. That would be a pretty special
night. It surely would be. Now, an enemy of the people. Again, they were on a few weeks ago from Flyleaf Theatre Company. When Dr. Thomas Stockman discovers his town's eco-spa water is contaminated, he raises an alarm. But his truth comes at a price. Those in power, including his own brother, will stop at nothing to discredit and crush him. Now, you can check out all about this Ibsen's masterpiece happening at the Q Theatre Loft from the 12th to the 22nd of August. Go to qtheatre.co.nz.
And National Youth Theatre is back with Grease Young at Part in an adaptation of the full-length musical Grease. It's edited to appeal to audiences of all ages, featuring a cast of more than 50 talented young performers. It is taking place on the 15th and 16th of August at the Four Winds Theatre at the Dewdrop Event Centre. Head to Event Finder for more details.
Now, Les Liaisons Dangereuses, Company Theatre, a tale of seduction and treachery among aristocrats in pre-revolutionary France. A well-known Oscar-winning film, Dangerous Liaisons, is adapted from this classic drama. And it is happening from the 15th of August to the 29th of August at the Rose Centre in Belmont, and you can get tickets for that at iTicket.
Now, lots of other things happening, so head to thetheatrelist.com and sign up to their weekly roundup to get it in your inbox every Sunday night. And of course, if you have something coming up, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. We can get you on the show, chat to you online, or get you up on our bulletin page. Now, dear friends of ours, Emerson have released yet another track. This one is called Breathe, and this is ahead of their busy series of shows, currently performing in Australia, in Brunswick, then Chippendale, then they head back to New Zealand. Looks like they're performing in Wellington before coming to Auckland to the Tuning Fork on September the 18th. But here is their latest track, Breathe.
I should have warned you, I should have run, I should have told you that I could never be your one. And I didn't want to face the sound. Every good thing I have goes sour, I try to change, I don't have that power. But every time I look at your face, I forget that I'm not something to save.
Don't put your fate in my hands, I'm gonna break.
But I love you like breathing, so hold my breath till I'm blue and I can get you out. To be good, but it's not in me. If you emptied me out, then you'd see all my doubt, and it's plenty. So I cannot be the one that you need. I try to make you feel loved, my effort was never enough. But every time I try to leave, the best of me. But I love you like breathing, so I hold my breath till I'm blue and I can get you out my head.
Emerson with the latest track, Breathe. Catch them at the Tuning Fork in Auckland in September. Emma, when you're travelling around, you're doing all these junior festival things, and you and I have done a lot with young people over the years. There's certain people that come into your life that you just go, wow, our future arts is safe. Eh? Mm-hmm. Like you meet different young people from around the country, but certain ones that just have that extra spark or energy. Mm-hmm. And I reckon our next guest, who's someone you introduced to me, definitely has that spark, eh?
Yeah, and I think too, not only that spark, but he's got an understanding of so many facets of performing arts. Mm. He's not just a performer. He's not just a dancer. He's not just a designer. He's a costume designer. He's a graphic designer. He is everything.
I know. I was at Bugsy Malone the other week, and his name's in the program there. He's, it's fantastic. Yeah. Well, hopefully his head's not getting too big as we chat. A good evening, Maxwell Hutton.
Hello, good evening. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And of course, we know you from your time in Auckland, but you're beaming in from the sunny Bay of Plenty these days.
Oh, yes. It has been a tremendous move from Auckland to the Bay of Plenty. I was nervous at first, but honestly, such a exciting move.
So for our listeners, before we unpack the journey, take us right back. When did the arts first kick off for you?
Yeah, of course. My theatre journey actually started at an old school that doesn't exist anymore called ACTA, the Auckland City Theatre Academy. Started there when I was about 10 and then started getting into community theatre when I started high school at about 14. Yeah.
And you did a lot of things with Centre Stage?
Yeah, Centre Stage is my home theatre. I started there with the production of Bugsy Malone and then was sort of doing shows all around Auckland from there, mainly with Centre Stage, but hopped around a bit, and yeah.
And so when you were thinking about junior theatre kids and their age, when you were their age, what did your week look like?
Oh, my week with who?
When you were the age of, like, the kids doing junior theatre, when you were a teenager, what did a usual week look like for you? How many
crazy
dance classes and rehearsals and...
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you had your thrice weekly rehearsals, sort of a Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, and either in and around those, I'd have my, dance classes at, again, another dance school that probably doesn't exist anymore, but have the occasional jazz class, tap class, musical theater class. Then if there was like a open class for maybe a little ballet or a little contemporary, give that a little go here and there. But just anything to, quench that creative thirst.
And then after school, you kind of went into a slightly different area of study rather than performance.
Yeah, I was unsure of my options, but I, had a lot of fun with fashion and textiles in high school and thought I would pursue that, not only to see what that had in the store, but also just to expand my creative palette. Always looking for new ways to make things, new ways to think of things. Even though I have now my degree in fashion, it's not something I'm pursuing actually, but the skills that I've learned from that, I've been able to apply to, many facets of the creative industry. Even ways of thinking that I can apply to things like program design and marketing design and, just shapes and things that you can apply to productions in many ways.
But also just, having anyone in your creative team that can speak that design language, Emma, when you're talking to like a costume team, etc., it's so handy. Have you found yourself sort of stepping into that wardrobe room going, oh, can we just tweak this a little bit here?
Yeah, definitely. Especially when I made my directorial debut last year with a production of The Wedding Singer. Having that knowledge from fashion school really helped with sort of the costume direction, costume design. I already had an idea of what I wanted and what could be changed, where we needed to go, and
awesome. Now tell us, what have you been doing since you arrived in Tauranga?
Since I moved here, not for myself but to follow my partner who got a job here, I was came here completely open-minded, but I knew that the theatre community would be the perfect place to find friends and make new connections. So even before we moved here, I was already auditioning for a show and was fortunate to be cast in it, and that was a production of Come From Away. So by the time we got to Tauranga, I was straight into rehearsals and meeting people and getting right into that community.
And since then, you've just closed a show, right? Another show.
Yep. So even before Come From Away finished, I was already applying to choreograph their production of 9 to 5. And we just closed that last night, and it was an absolutely fantastic season. The feedback was amazing. Even beyond that, I did all of their marketing, and I'm doing more marketing for this company as well.
You were on the stage in 9 to 5 as well, weren't you?
Yeah. I wore many hats for that production, as a choreographer, cast member, program designer, marketing designer, social media and everything. And
Now, for our listeners that don't know the story behind 9 to 5, because it's quite an interesting one, tell our listeners what's it all based on?
Oh, such an empowering story, based on a movie from the, I think, 1979, 1980, a movie of the same name, 9 to 5, with that famous Dolly Parton song in it. About three women in the workplace challenging their egotistical, tyrannical boss. Such an uplifting story about, making a change and standing up for what's right and workplace justice. And the music, all by Dolly Parton, is every song is a banger.
That's cool. When you're, jumping between choreography, directing, design work, etc., do you like the variety, or is there one thing that pulls you? Like if the, a producer offers you something, it's going to always sort of jump the list.
Yeah, no, I personally like the variety, It means I'm not getting too bored in one certain role, I'm always able to remain adaptable and, makes me, more versatile in a creative space. I can always feel like I can be helpful in some way or another. And I love being able to contribute to that and, feel like I'm making a really cool project.
Hmm. And the art scene is popping off in the Bay of Plenty. I mean, they don't stop. There is so much happening in that area.
Hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Like, even though, the theatre community is smaller than Auckland because not as many companies, but everyone is thriving. Everyone is connected. Everyone is there to help each other. And everyone is so supportive. And just the good shows keep on coming. They have an absolutely stacked season of shows for 2026 and 2027.
That is cool. All right, we're going to take a music break now. And we'll play the theme song to 9 to 5. And then after the break, we'll find out what you have next lined up. And then ask you our very difficult Kick Arts Sunday questions. Here is 9 to 5.
Good morning!
Dream.
just to watch them shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away.
You're in the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in. The tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. 9 to 5. As long as we're together, you know you and I will make it through whatever.
They can't keep us down. We'll just rise above it. You hold on to me. Working 9 to 5 became necessary when my husband Dick left me for his secretary. Never worked before, but somehow I've gotta make it till I learn the rope. I guess I just have to fake it.
9 to 5,
so many ups to it,
but we know inside.
A great song. Such a great song. So, Maxwell Hutton, what's next on the agenda? What have you got lined up, coming up?
Oh, yeah. Personally, I'm not signed on to any contracts yet, but we have some auditions lined up. They're doing a little production of Chicago that we're very excited to audition for. And next year, which is on everyone's radar in the Bay of Plenty, they're doing a very exciting production of the Rocky Horror Show. And since Richard O'Brien himself, you know, only lives a short while away, apparently he's going to be making a little appearance maybe here and there. We don't know, but yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool. And of course, you'll be doing lots of design work.
Yeah, of course. keeping up with my marketing and all my program design and social media design. And yeah, love my little project that I get to whittle away at in my free time.
Brilliant. Right. Is there, so here's your kick-arts question for a Sunday night. If a producer offered you a role in any show, regardless of where it is in the world, you would drop everything and do it. What is the dream role that you would drop everything for?
Oh, dream role. Honestly, I would love to be in the ensemble of a good production of Groundhog Day.
Ah, I've never seen that. That's another one on my list that I've always wanted to see, but it's never come this way.
Such a cool show with an amazing heartfelt story. Yeah.
Interesting you want to be in the ensemble. Why? Is that show particular that grabs you for that?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the ensemble and I've always loved it, the community and family you make from that. I
love it.
I love being versatile and, it's a great show that I'd want to be in the ensemble of, yeah.
That is so cool. That is so cool. When you look back at everything you've done so far, you know, I hope you're proud of your journey.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very happy with all the shows that I've been a part of. I can't fault it at all.
Now, we would be amiss to not mention your amazing twin.
Oh, who doesn't know Gina?
So I had the pleasure of seeing Gina on Wednesday night at the opening of Six. It was great to see her in her element over there. She wasn't performing that night, but just her presence at the after show itself. So Maxwell's twin Gina is one of the queens. She is one of the ultimate swings that they've got there over in Melbourne at the moment. So, yeah, it must be pretty cool for your parents to have both of you doing so, so successfully in your careers.
Yeah, we hope to do them proud.
You need to create the show that you're going to do together.
Oh, yes, I don't even remember the last time we've been on stage together. It's been a while. Hopefully we'll be able to reunite one day.
Very cool. Well, maybe she might, maybe you need to rekindle your fashion and dress her for a red carpet or something so she can wear a Maxwell Hutton as she goes down the red carpet.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Maybe, maybe. Yeah.
That'd be very cool.
When it comes to designing programs and things, you know, what are you doing to sort of think outside the square? Like, where do you go when you first get asked to design a program? I mean, they become so iconic, but you also want to make each one feel a little bit different.
Well, you can't go wrong with a classic mood board. going on Pinterest, on any website that you can grab images from and ideas, putting together a vision of what you want and, always just throwing something on there, because you can always change, you know, something you've made, but you can't change nothing. So always just, you know, be throwing out ideas, getting all the bad ideas out of the way. Can't go wrong with a mood board.
Love it. Love it. Well, shortly we're going to end the show by playing a track from Come From Away. We're going to play the finale. Obviously, that was your first show when you hit the Bay of Plenty. What was it like being part of such a special show at such a special anniversary time?
It was truly amazing. Like, I'm very fortunate to have this year done two dream shows of mine, both 9 to 5 and Come From Away, are shows that I've wanted to do forever. For Come From Away, I was one of the backing vocalists and I got to sit in the back corner of the stage, but singing that score every night was the most beautiful thing that I would not change for anything.
That is so cool. Hey, thanks for chatting to us on a Sunday night. We really appreciate it. All the best. Keep doing amazing things. We love watching and following your career and excited to see where it heads next.
Of course. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to speak to you guys.
Thank you so much, Maxwell Hutton. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you. Have a good night.
So, Emma, what have you got now that you're back on Earth, apart from checking in with husband, children and dogs, who are probably surprised that you're back?
Yeah, my dog was very excited to see me home. And actually, today, it's 28 years since I met my husband today.
Aww.
Crazy. Yeah.
Since you met.
Since we met.
Where did you meet?
We met. I had actually just come off my professional debut as Columbia in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Funny
right.
That Maxwell mentioned Rocky Horror Picture Show. So I had bright red Columbia hair still. And before I'd gone to Nelson to do that gig, I actually was working at Kenny's Bar and Grill in Newmarket.
Oh, my
across
goodness.
The road from
I
the
remember
swimming pools.
Kenny's Bar and
yeah.
Grill.
And I was the restaurant manager there. And they held my job for me while I went off and did a 6-week gig. And the day I came back was the day that I met my husband. I poured him a drink and the rest was history.
Gee, that's Kenny's Bar and Grill. That takes us back.
It sure does.
Yeah.
So this week, though, we're back into rehearsals for Heather's Teen Edition. Tickets will be going on sale for that soon and I think they'll sell really fast.
Good.
So keep an eye out for that via Stage Antics. Thursday night, I'm off to ATC's Macbeth because one of my students, Quinn, is on that night.
Nice. Cool.
And it happens to be her birthday as well, so I'm getting to see her on her birthday and on stage, which is really exciting. And we're in rehearsal for our concert with the amazing Will Martin, which is coming up as well. So busy, busy, busy.
See, lots to keep you out of mischief.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. Well, great to have you back. It was nice to have a night tonight together in the studio. Thank you, Kristen, for always filling in when one of us is away. We're going to close the show with Come From Away's finale. Have a fabulous week, everyone. Email us if you've got something coming up from September to December. We need to slot those in. info@kickarts.org.nz. Otherwise, have an awesome week and make sure you
kick some arts.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the friends who have come from away. Welcome to the locals who have always said they'd stay. If you're coming from Toledo or you're coming from Taipei, because we come from everywhere,
we all come from away. Welcome to the rock.
There's an ocean in the way,
where everything is meant to be, but nothing goes as planned.
And the drunkest fellas in the room are playing in the band.
Welcome to the rock.
With all the new security, kids aren't even allowed up into the cockpit anymore. Of course, on my retirement flight, I brought my whole family into the cockpit on our way back to Gander.
I came back with the scholarship money we raised, now worth over $1 million.
I bring out the Irish whiskey and we have ourselves a toast.
Nick and I just couldn't make the long-distance relationship work.
So I moved to Texas, and then I proposed.
And we honeymooned in Newfoundland.
My new secretary's name is Robin.
What's up?
Every year on September 11th, I close my office and give each employee $100 to go and do random good deeds for strangers. It's my way of remembering what happened.
Buell and I still keep in touch. She even came to visit me in New York. And I'll still phone her if I hear a really stupid joke. Beulah, why are Newfoundlanders terrible at knock-knock jokes?
I don't know, Hannah.
We'll try it. I'll be a Newfoundlander.
Knock-knock.
Come on in. The door's open.
The donation we are most honored by just arrived today.
It's about 4 meters long and 1,200 kilograms.
Newfoundland is the only place outside the United States where we share the steel from the World Trade Center.
On the northeast tip of North America, on an island called Newfoundland, there's an airport. And next to it is a town called Gander. Tonight, we honor what was lost, but we also commemorate what we found.
Selling,
and it's darker than before. If you're hoping for a harbor, then you'll find it open.